Good morning. How's everybody this morning?
Good.
I'm back, just in case you were wondering. All right, if you can find your seats, I want you to know I missed you while I was gone. I missed you big time. So it's so good to be home. It's so good to be with you this morning. How many of you got a bulletin when you came in? How many of you didn't? You better make sure you get one on the way out because there's lots of stuff in here. All right, so after our morning service this morning, we are going to be having Sunday school, and I hope that you'll stay. And we have Sunday school for children all the way up through adults, so I hope you'll stay and just enjoy this time of being able to learn more and more from God's Word. Monday night is ladies' Bible study here at the church at 7 p.m. Tuesday night, we have men's Bible study here at the church. Guess what? Same time. 7 p.m. Thursday night, we have Awana, and it's Lifesaver night, and that'll be a great night. Ladies, men, there are announcements in the bulletin that you need to pay attention to for further instruction. Also, next week, we are going to be doing communion. That means we're also going to be taking an offering for the Benevolent Fund. And those of you that have been around here for a long time, you know what that means. If you don't understand how the Benevolent Fund works or what it's for, come and see me, and I'll try to answer those questions for you. So, no, I am not going to be preaching today because we just got back from vacation on Tuesday. So Jared is still going to fill in, and I heard he's been doing a great job. And so we're just so grateful for that. Let's give him a round of applause. I know he doesn't want it, but let's give him a round of applause anyway for his willingness to be able to fill in. I'm looking forward.
I think they're clapping because they're glad I'm not going to be doing this anymore.
That's not true, is it? Oh, I see. See, they love you. We all love you. So you're a great worship leader. You're a great, great pulpit filler. So you know what? You've done a great job, and I know you're going to do another one today. All right, are you ready to worship? Ready to praise? You know, our praise isn't for us. Our praise isn't for those who are sitting around us. Our praise is for He who is inside of us. And He knows what we came with. He knows the attitude that we brought with us. He knows the desire of our heart as we're sitting here in front of Him today. And I think He wants us to praise. I think He wants us to worship. I think He wants us to enjoy all that He is and all that He has for us. Are you ready for that? All right, let's go.
Okay, everybody, time to stand up. This is going to be interactive worship today. So we're going to start with the song Great and Mighty Is He, which you remember from 1989, back when I was a little kid, like some of these kids. Some of you were, well, probably about the same as you are now. Anyway, so here's what you're going to do. You're going to clap with me. We're going to sing, Great and Mighty Is He. Great and Mighty Is He. Clothed in glory, arrayed in splendor. Great and Mighty Is He. Okay, can you do that? All right, let's try. Great and Mighty Is He. Great and Mighty Is He. There we go. Clothed in glory, arrayed in splendor. Great and Mighty Is He. Great and Mighty Is He. Great and Mighty Is He. Clothed in glory, arrayed in splendor. Great and Mighty Is He. Let us lift His name up high, celebrate His grace, for He has redeemed our lives and He reigns on high. Great and Mighty Is He. Great and Mighty Is He. Clothed in glory, arrayed in splendor. Great and Mighty Is He. Great and Mighty Is He. Great and Mighty Is He. Clothed in glory, arrayed in splendor. Great and Mighty Is He. Let us lift His name up high, celebrate His grace, for He has redeemed our lives and He reigns on high. Great and Mighty Is He. Oh, great and Mighty Is He. Clothed in glory, arrayed in splendor. splendor. Great and mighty is, great and mighty is, great and mighty is he. Give the Lord a round of applause. Come on, he's worthy of our praise today. Amen. He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. For the sins of the world, his blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. For the sins of the world, his blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him. Stop the Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. For the sins of the world, his blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Go and be seated as we continue. Father, thank you so much for providing for us a future and a hope, something we can really look forward to. Lord, thank you for showing us, like we read previously in Revelation, there's an end coming, and it's with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for your amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love. Thank you for this love, Lord. Jesus, thank you for what you did for us on that cross. You are deserving of all glory, all honor, and all praise. God has seated you on the throne. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you've chosen to include us in your plan and your story. Lord, we love you. And we respond to you today with giving, not giving just financially, but giving our lives, Lord. Giving our actions, our words, giving us. We worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering, and we're going to sing a song that talks about just that, living the Jesus way. If you curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. And if you're helpless, I will defend you. And if you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way. I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. If you strike me, I will embrace you. And if you chain me, I'll sing his praise. And if you kill me, my hope is heaven, for I choose the Jesus way. Sam's going to come up and dismiss.
Come on up.
All right. We all know who he belongs to, huh?
All right, let's pray. Father, just because we're going to set aside our praise by lifting our voice and our hearts in song to you, doesn't mean our worship stops. Father, we're going to worship as your word is opened unto us. And so, Father, I pray that we will just continue in our attitude and our action of worship. Father, we pray that we will let your word through your Holy Spirit speak to us. Tell us those things that you want us to be able to know. Tell us those things you want us to be able to put into practice into our lives, that we might truly know and choose the Jesus way. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a great time.
Okay, follow these guys. Okay, week three. Been building up to this point. We've covered a lot of ground. We've read a lot of scripture. We're going to read a ton more today, so bear with me as we dig through more of Ephesians. You ever feel like the doing part of our faith becomes a primary focus of Christians in the world today? Being a Christian has become synonymous with being a heartless, brainless, rule-following bigot. And when we as believers grab our Bibles, flip open to the do's and don'ts sections of the Bible, such as Ephesians 4 through 6, what are we looking for? Are we looking for affirmation from our Creator, also known as brownie points or gold stars? Are these sections of Scripture intended to crush the believer into a perfect mold of righteousness that, much like a robot on an assembly line in a certain futuristic movie, will then go out into the world looking for sinners to terminate with biblical truth? Over the last 2 weeks, we discussed the formation of the church as part of God's plan in history, not yet known to those in Paul's generation. We learned that the church is the body of Christ, made up of believers in Jesus. And it's a place where the believer is not just made, but matured. And when we look at the book of Ephesians as a whole, we see that chapters 1 through 3 relate to the position of the believer before God as a subject under their Creator. And that position comes with responsibilities, features, and benefits. And we've discussed some of those features and benefits, such as the giving of an inheritance and the Holy Spirit. But what is the church? You and me as believers, what's it for? What is the church? Again, that is you and me as believers. What are we here to do? When we read Ephesians 4 through 6, why do some Christians go bashing around the world armed with the do's and don'ts rather than the gospel of grace? I believe that when we read through God's word with his plans in mind rather than our plans in mind, then we can submit to the understandings that God wants us to know and do. He will illuminate the truth for the believer with Holy Spirit guidance, and we can see the purpose to the melody that's the song of our faith and his story. So the first point today, you are a Gentile. Now, I know that seems like a funny way to start our study in the Word of God today, but it's worth noting that when you read the word Gentile through the Scripture, you're reading about people who are not descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of the 12 tribes of Israel, God's chosen people on the earth, which God has made everlasting covenant with. Rather, you're one of the rest of us. That last bit about everlasting covenant is an important aspect of the perceived division between Jews and Gentiles in the past, as well as today. And depending on your interpretation of covenants that God has made in the past determines how you might feel about certain Middle East conflict, as well as other world news, current events, and future events, including eschatology, which is the study of end times. It's these covenants that are important in understanding the separation of the Jews from the Gentiles and the ensuing resistance to change. We previously discussed how Jews and Gentiles would live side by side in the world, yet Jews would have lived according to the law given in the Old Testament, according to its traditions and precedents. The Gentile would not live that way, rather in accordance with society, driven by personal desires. You will recall that throughout history, from the creation down to Jesus, God had dealt with the nation of Israel primarily as his chosen people in the world, entrusting the rest of the nations to angelic oversight. And the sermon is not going into that topic, but you can find out more in Psalm 82 and other scriptures regarding the divine counsel. But the thrust of the matter is division of Jews from the rest of the world. That's what we're dealing with today, the Gentiles. They were the vessel that would deliver the Messiah to the rest of the world to be a blessing to all and a judge of all. The same Messiah was expected by the Jews to usher in his kingdom, where they would be ruled by the perfect king, their Messiah, a descendant of King David, defeating all their enemies and excluding everyone unworthy, that is, the Gentiles. When the nation of Israel officially rejected Jesus, the Messiah, as described in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there became a new yet unheard of period of time in history that we now reside in, commonly referred to as the Age of Grace or the Church Age. This time period and the church were not yet discussed in the Old Testament and in history. And one key characteristic of the current time period, the church age, is that where God had previously dealt with the nation of Israel as his chosen people in the world, now God is including all people from all nations in his plans moving forward by one factor alone, and you all know it, faith in Jesus. And that was a huge, huge change with huge ramifications for you and me as Gentiles. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 3, 1 through 6. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you, Gentiles, it's you and me, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Friends, that's you and me, and that's worth getting excited about. Because up until now, in this time in history, it was not so. As Gentiles, we have now been included in God's plans where previously we were excluded, and that is a big deal and worth taking note of. Remember how I mentioned that you and I fit into God's plan and into this picture? Here it is. This is where you and I as Gentile believers fit into this picture. Just being a Gentile doesn't mean anything, though. Just being a Jew doesn't mean anything either. But what does mean something? We're going to ask Paul that question, and thankfully, he's already answered it for us in his own words from Acts 20. Paul had reconvened with the church elders from Ephesus, and this is what he had to say. Now, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks, of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." So to rephrase the previous question, what, according to Paul, has meaning? What is Paul's testimony? It is Jesus, faith in Jesus. That's what has meaning. And I mentioned last week that the very first point was, you need to be a believer. It's the only imperative given to everyone who isn't a believer yet in this world. Believe in Jesus for eternal life. He is the Savior, the Messiah, the King. So let's go ahead and keep reading from Paul's perspective in Ephesians 3. This is verses 7 to 11. "Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles," that's you and me, folks, "the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Point number two today. You are a testimony of God's wisdom. Whether you like it or not, you, Christian, are on display. You are part of the body of Christ, the church. You are a witness giving testimony of God's wisdom, not just to the world around you, but to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Remember that Psalm 82 reference to the divine council earlier. That's a conversation for another sermon, but here is another reference for your own personal Bible study at home on that subject. And it's with that same understanding that you and I, the church, the body of Christ, now have responsibility to God, our Creator, the founder of our faith, the founder of the church, and the architect of our purpose. We're going to continue reading in chapter 4 of Ephesians. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And he gave the apostles, we're skipping to verse 11 here, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, to verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Friends, you and I have a purpose. When you were inducted into the church by faith in Jesus, you were given direction and purpose by your Creator to fulfill an important role in the world. The church is a place where believers mature. It is a place where the believer is equipped for the work of ministry and for building up the body of Christ. God is giving us very important information here. He's telling us that as part of the body of Christ, which is you and me, people, we have responsibility to get equipped so we can get to work. If you thought Christianity was a passive experience, I hate to break it to you, you're wrong. It's not. You are not intended to be sedentary in your participation. And on a quick side note, notice that these instructions of dues are not imperative to unbelievers. Humility, gentleness, patience, love, unity are all hallmarks of believers in the church, not of people in the world. I posed the question earlier, why do some believers go around armed with the do's and don'ts of Ephesians or the rest of the Bible, for that matter, looking for sinners to terminate when these attributes are first and foremost expressed after believing in Jesus? There's no reason to push morality upon the world. There's every reason to share Jesus with the world, but not morality. People need Jesus first and foremost. And the Holy Spirit-filled church, the body of Christ, is intended to equip them as believers for the work of ministry that God has purposed for us all to do in this world. I want to change gears here and talk about something new. Remember during the first sermon of this series, I mentioned that as I was reading the book of Ephesians, I had this question. Why did Paul write this book? What was his motivation? As we considered that question and have read through Ephesians, we've noticed various reasons. But the follow-up question now, from the perspective of Paul's audience, who has now received all this new information and what the church is, new information about how they're a part of this brand new thing in history, they might ask the question, how in the world am I supposed to do this? Or they might react in ways like, you want me to be part of the same group as them? Ephesians 4 through 6 covers so many topics of life and living related to the believer, such as spirituality, emotions, morality, ethics, marriage, family, professional relationships, and conduct. Do you ever feel like the collection of instructions might feel overwhelming? We often look at individual selections of Ephesians. We're encouraged and we're thankful. But when you look at the entirety of teaching, not just even here, but in all of Scripture, can it feel daunting? Too big to accomplish? Too much to handle? Is this how Paul and God intended for us to feel in response to reading God's Word? That God's Word becomes burdensome or unattainable. And if you felt this way, let me encourage you, friends, you are not alone. Point three is, you are made for this. I want to change the narrative here. There's a reason that this message is titled, You Can Do This, and it's not to encourage you simply to perform the do's and don'ts of Scripture, but rather to see that you were made for it. It's not simply that you have been repurposed, but that you have been woken up into reality, into the true reality that you exist in, the way things really are. God made you to be the church. God made you with the capacity to be the church which he describes in his word. It is God's testimony about you that you are made for this. Many of you know that I'm a mechanic, and my buddy Scott right here. I own a repair shop. And we work on many types of vehicles. And in my industry, vehicles are now being made that have additional features available, yet not fully enabled or switched on when the vehicle is sold to the public. Through the process of updating the vehicle, additional features and benefits are unlocked and enabled for the user. What that means is the vehicle is made in the factory, fully equipped with the technology and capability to perform those functions. They just haven't been switched on. You likewise were made by God with the full capacity to be God's church, the body of Christ, fully capable to perform the functions of the church in this world and to be the testimony of God's wisdom. But you have to be unlocked by Jesus first. You need a features and benefits update by the Holy Spirit. And when I say you can do this, what I mean is that you are made for it. So the question is, are you willing to listen to what God has to say about you? Are you willing to hear the message? Our Creator has given us the full plan in his word, and by faith in Jesus, we are switched on into reality. Paul also refers to this as the new life, or that we are a new creation. So point four is we need to choose to walk with Jesus. Continuing reading in Ephesians 4, 17 to 24, it says, Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Due to their hardness of heart, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. As you drive that brand new car with its new features and benefits turned on, you still have the choice whether or not to use them as you drive. And many vehicles today have defeat mechanisms in place to turn off some features and benefits. Sure, the vehicle is made to do it. Sure, it's capable to do it. But you decide to switch it off anyway. Why use lane keeping assist when you feel like you can drive just fine? Thank you very much. Someone might say, I don't need to wear my seatbelt. Well, there's a reason that it's there, and you have the choice whether or not to use it to your own detriment if you choose not to, and then you're in an accident. In the same way, you and I are newly created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. But will you walk with Jesus, or will you walk like you used to as Gentiles? Will you defeat the safety measures of your vehicle? Will you turn off the features and benefits, or will you choose to acknowledge the testimony of your Creator and stop ignoring, or worse, defeating the truth? We've read a fair amount of Ephesians and other scriptures over the last 3 weeks, and while we're not going to read through the rest of Ephesians, I want you to consider reading it. Read it with the viewpoint that rather than just following a list of do's and don'ts, read it as the potential of what we can do when we walk with Jesus. Read it for yourself. Go to Jesus, seeking to walk with him in his ways to your true full potential. That's why we sang a song about that today. The Jesus way. I'm going to stop here real quick, and I'm going to tell you a quick story. This happened this week. Scott knows about it. It's totally off script. So we had at my shop, a person had a medical event, came off Coal Road, and smashed into two cars in my parking lot. And thankfully, they were okay. They were the only person involved. They took him away in a paramedic. And in that moment, all the things going through my head were, okay, are they okay? Yes. Now I got to deal with these broken cars, which means I have to call the customers who they belong to and explain what's going on. And this is not a good situation. I also need to stay here and be ready to talk to the police. I need to get the report, blah, 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 blah. Task, task, task. Here's all the do's and don'ts I got to do. And I looked over to my left, and there was a man standing there praying for the woman who had been in this accident. And it was my friend Scott. He was walking the Jesus way in action. Friends, this is what you're made for. So when life happens like that, you're walking the Jesus way. Thank you, Scott, for loving Jesus more than everything else. It's awesome. So when I set out on this adventure of preparing these last 3 weeks of sermons, I did not have a complete picture of all the three sermons on day one of preparation, but over time, the Holy Spirit helped me research and understand more of God's Word. When we begin a journey, so often we have expectations of where it will take us. In fact, we expect to guide that journey ourselves with our own understanding. And I want to share my life verses with you all. This is my motivation for so much of life and living. Some of you have life verses as well. There are verses from the Bible that resonate exceptionally well with us. And we often commit them to memory, place them in prominence in our home, or bring them to remembrance regularly. And when I interact with others, when I'm asked, what is my motivation in life, or what advice could I give to someone from my sum of knowledge and life experience, it is these verses that I recite, and many of you know them by heart as well. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I believe Paul knew these verses by heart too. I believe Paul woke up into the reality the day that he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, and these verses truly made sense for the first time for him. I want you to notice that they do not say, do all that the Lord says with all your heart and do everything according to his understanding. Sometimes we remember these verses and we read into it that we must do our part and make sure that these verses come true. But that's not what they say, and it's not what Paul was getting at in Ephesians. The message is not to just do, but rather to be. Trust in the Lord. Trust what he says about you. Trust who you are and what he says you are. Don't think that you have to make it happen, that it somehow hinges upon your performance as a perfect Christian, because it doesn't. The pressure is off when you trust in the Lord and hear what he says about you and believe it. The pressure is off when you come to grips with reality that you are not perfect and you never will be in your own strength. So stop trying to be. Paul made an incredible statement back in Acts 20:24 that shares the heart of this message. And I believe that this message is important for us to hear today as well. The message of letting go of self-importance. In Acts 20:24 it says, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." And I don't know who needs to hear this today, but there is no hope in perfection. There is only hope in the grace of God. It is that grace, that gospel that Paul carried. And it is that same gospel that you and I should be carrying with us as we go. The gospel of grace of God. Not the gospel of the requirements to do what's right according to God. I believe it is the gospel that changes hearts and switches people on into new life, into the new reality. Not a gospel of works, a gospel of doing, but as you and I are living our lives in the world around us, we are the church. We were made to be the church, to carry the gospel of grace, the grace of God, with us throughout the world, that we might testify to all onlookers in the heavenly places and here below the manifold wisdom of God. So I hope you've been encouraged these last 3 weeks. I hope the word of God has become real to you. I hope you can trust in the Lord and his word more completely and to know who you are in God's eyes and plans. The application today is this. Everyone may have a past apart from God, but you are a testimony of God's wisdom and grace. You were made to be the church, which is the body of Christ. So choose to walk with Jesus, not just do what he says. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us a future and a plan. I keep saying that over and over, and it's so true, Lord. It's true that without you, apart from you, we are nothing. We have nothing. We have no hope. But because of you, we have everything. So, Lord, teach us. Teach us to walk with you, to trust in the Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this message today. Lord, I pray that as we go out into the world, that, Lord, we would carry with us the gospel of grace to unbelievers, and we would, in the church, build up and equip and grow and mature. Lord, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you all stand with me for this final song?